Okay, we're on the record now. My name is Richard Steves. I'm the appointed special magistrate by the Hernando County Value Adjustment Board for this hearing. And I believe the hearing is going to pertain to three petitions, petition numbers 20-076, 077, and 080. The petitioner is not present, however, requested that their evidence be considered in their absence. Property appraisers, would you state your names, please, for the record?
Doug Mack.
Melissa Cullen.
All right, we will go ahead and swear everyone in for the hearing. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
I do.
All right, whoever's going to be presenting, you can go ahead and go through your evidence with me. Okay, thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Magistrate. We're going to start with petition 2020-076.
076. Okay, and you've submitted a packet, a VAB packet for 076, and it will be admitted. All three of these will be admitted for 076, 077, and 080.
Okay. For this particular property, the just value for 2020 was $1,630,975. The assessed value and taxable value were the same as the just, $1,630,975. On page 5 of the packet starts a, I believe it's 3-page property record card of the subject, followed by aerial photos of the subject and its location aerial photo. And then on page 10, we have a synopsis, basically just a breakdown of the property. This property lies at 20,020 Cortez Boulevard in Brooksville, at the southeast corner of Cortez Boulevard and Broad Street. It has frontage and access from both Cortez Boulevard and Broad Street. It is zoned C2. And has 57,725 usable square feet of land. It is occupied as a single tenant retail. It was built and has an effective year built of 2004. And the structure has 14,444 leasable square feet and 16,127 gross square feet. This property sold back in August of 2004 for $4,293,000, and that was a qualified sale. The following page, the following 3 pages, show the improved comps we used in this package. And on page 16, you'll see the grid that we prepared. In that grid, you'll see that our leasable areas range in our comps from 11,097 square feet to 17,227 square feet. Those sale dates range from April of 2019 through November of 2019. They had a, on page 17, you'll see they had a minimum price per leasable square feet of $138.48 with a maximum price per leasable square foot of $433.67. And for the purpose of this particular property, we used a value of $200 per leasable square foot, which gave us a final value of $2,888,800 for the property. On page 19, we have a comparable rentals map showing you the location of the rentals that were used to defend our value. Starting on page 20 and page 21, there are photos of the rentals that were used. On page 23, We have our comparable rentals chart, and those unadjusted rental rates range from $18.66 to $19.90 per leasable square foot, and they were based on a double net and absolute net basis, ranging with properties ranging from 14,241 square feet, leasable square feet, to 15,068 leasable square feet. And on page 24, you'll see there at the bottom, the rental rate of the comps, the minimum was $17.37 per leasable square foot, and the maximum was $20.65 per leasable square foot. For the purpose of this packet, we used $17.50 per leasable square foot. If you'll go back to page 30, we have included our fee simple direct cap chart in there, showing that our subject has the 14,444 square feet at $17.50 per square foot, gives us a total PGI of $252,770. We allowed for a 3% vacancy based off surveys that we reviewed for a total of $7,583, giving us an effective gross income of $245,187. After allowing for management, administrative, reserves, and special assessment expenses, those totaled $15,699, or 6.4% of the EGI, giving us an NOI of $229,488. We applied a 6.5% cap rate, plus we loaded that cap rate with the 2019 millage, giving us a loaded cap rate of 8.12%. That gives us a final value of $2,826,986. And then on page 31, Mr. Magistrate, in our reconciliation, we'd like you to know that the 8 criteria were considered in the analysis of this subject. The value of the subject from the sales comparison approach is $2,888,800, and from the income approach was $2,826,986. And the as-is fee simple market value of the subject as of January 1st, 2020 would be $2,876,437. In this packet that we provided, behind that are property record cards for all of the improved sales comps we used, property record cards for all of the rentals that we used, plus the offering memorandums that we were able to produce on CoStar to provide that information. Behind that is the legal information that we are obliged to put into our packet from the state and evidentiary request letters and such.
Okay. And they submitted some evidence here for this one. Which will be admitted. It looks like it is a cost approach.
Yes, sir.
And did they use your land value, the property appraiser's land value?
They did not. They used a number that they created from themselves.
From themselves? What does that mean?
Well, it's
is there any?
There's no.
For the land? It's a different number.
It's a different number, and they didn't show how they produced that number.
Okay.
I do have a rebuttal to that evidence when it's time.
Okay. Did you have any conversation with these people about these three petitions ever in the last?
Did you have any conversation?
Bear with me. Let me look at my file. I think we may have. I have. When they emailed the evidence, I replied to them and said that I had only received one page because that was unusual to me. And I said I didn't receive anything else. I also asked them, did you mean to send evidence for several other petitions they had filed? And I wanted to make sure that you hadn't tried to send additional evidence and it didn't bounce back. You know, let me know. And she said, yeah, I'd only sent it on a few, those three petitions, and wanted to know if we could come to some sort of agreement on the values, and she'll withdraw the other ones, and want to know who the appraiser was. So I responded because I was the appraiser handling it. And I just stated that I typically do not make any adjustments unless a factual mistake is made. However, I don't make any determinations until I've received and reviewed the evidence for the petitions. And she wrote back asking what other evidence I need besides a cost workup, and followed up with me again at a later date, and but never sent me anything else. She kept asking if I would adjust them and settle them, and I just said no. At this time, I don't feel basically it's warranted, and that I never got anything else from them.
Okay.
So I did check because I thought it was unusual.
Okay. And that's the case on each of the three of these.
Correct.
They all have, I'm not going to say arbitrary, but unsupported land values that are not your land values.
Correct.
For each of the three.
I believe all three of them are that way.
Okay. Okay, do you want to take me through the next package? I assume the evidence is the same, or the data is the same?
Basically, everything is the same on our end. Like I said, I do have a rebuttal to their, other than their
okay,
land value.
Go ahead and go through that.
As I go through this first one for this package, to start with, they have an incorrect base area. This structure is 14,444 square feet. They're using 13,303 square feet. This particular structure has a structure height of 18 feet and requires a 1.127 story height adjustment, not the 1.0 that they have used. The current cost multiplier that they used is 1. That's incorrect. It should be 1.05. And I took my numbers directly from Marshall and Swift. excuse me. The effective age of 16 years at a 40-year life should have a depreciation of, based on the other numbers, once I correct their numbers with my story heights and the correct square footage, the depreciation should have had a value of $354,080. The petitioner did not account for any extra features that are on the property, such as paving and et cetera. They also did not show, as we've talked before, about how they produced their land value. And with that information, Mr. Magistrate, if you'd like, I did a quick version of a cost approach just to support my number on my rebuttal. And once I add in the building cost, the feature cost, the soft cost and entrepreneurial incentive, and then depreciated everything, I come up to a final value with a cost method of $1,955,910.
Okay. And you're using your land value.
I just used our land value that we. Yes, sir.
For each of the three of these?
Correct.
Did you do that for each of them?
Yes,
sir. A cost approach, a rebuttal cost approach?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. If you want to take me through an abbreviated version of that for the next two, that'd be fine. If you want to go through the subject stuff and then get to...
If you'd like, we can just discuss the subject matter on the other two packets.
Yeah, and the comparables are exactly the same. I mean, the rentals and the sales are
yes,
the
sir.
Same for the three.
The only difference that would be in there is if there's any adjustment differences based on my site locations.
Okay.
Other than that, the comps are all the same. Everything else is the same.
Okay. So I'm looking at 077 now.
Okay.
And again, this evidence will be admitted.
Okay, for 077, the property record card for the subject starts on page 5, followed by the aerial, the location aerial, and the subject photo. This particular property has a 2020 market value of $1,451,500. Its assessed value and taxable value are the same as the market at $1,451,500. This property is located at 7305 Spring Hill Drive in Spring Hill, here in Hernando County. It's at the northeast corner of Spring Hill Drive and Pinehurst Drive. It has access and frontage from Spring Hill Drive and Pinehurst Drive. It's zoned C1, which is general commercial. It has 49,790 usable square feet and 49,790 gross square feet as well. Again, it's a single tenant retail. It has a year built and effective year built of 2007. The improvement is 14,399 leasable square feet with 15,521 gross square feet. This property sold in August of 2007 for $3,463,800. Back on page 16 is that comp improved sales chart. And rather than go through all this again like we did on the first one, I'll just go to... Based on these comps with this subject, we came up with a minimum price per leasable square foot of $145.07, with a maximum of $433.67 per leasable square foot. Again, we used $200 per leasable square foot, giving us a final value of $2,879,800 for the subject. Okay. If you'd like, I'll go through the rental information the same way.
Okay, the rentals are the same.
That will be on page 24. The minimum rental rate per leasable square foot would be $18.29. The maximum would be $19.62 per square foot. And for this particular subject, we use $17.50 per square foot. On page 30, you can see our direct cap chart. The 14,399 square feet at 1750 produced a PGI of $251,983. Again, using a 3% vacancy rate, allowed for $7,559 vacancy, giving us an effective gross income of $244,423. After applying management, administrative fees, reserves, and the special assessments, the expenses came up to $15,663, or 6.41% of the EGI, giving us a NOI of $228,760. Using that same 6.5% cap rate and then adding in the millage from 2019, gave us a loaded cap rate of 8.12%. Adding in giving us a $2,818,025 value on the subject. On page 31, again, the 8 criteria were considered in the analysis of the subject. The value of the subject from the sales comparison approach is $2,879,800. From the income approach is $2,818,025, and therefore the as-is market value of the subject for January 1st was $2,867,445.
Okay, and the petitioner, again, for this one, submitted a one-page cost approach, it looks like.
Yes, sir.
And that will be admitted. Do you want to make any comments about that, or you have rebuttal evidence that you're going to provide me, or it's already here somewhere?
That is up to you. Typically our rebuttal is verbal, but I have a copy here.
Oh, okay.
How do we do that?
Basically, that's up to your discretion. We always do it verbal if the magistrate asks for information.
I mean, if you have a one page, if you have a sheet, if it's a summary of the cost approach that we put together, I'll take one for each of those if you have them. And that'll be admitted as rebuttal evidence.
And basically, I did a quick version of a cost approach, and I highlighted any errors that I found on their sheet that they had provided. And again, I took all of my numbers directly from Marshall and Swift.
Okay.
And our Marshall and Swift is as of January 2020, the information that we use. Like, I don't replace the pages after that, since that's our data value.
Okay.
Special Magistrate, do you want me to bring these rebuttals up to you?
When you're finished with them, if you...
No, I need one for 80, because I've got to go over it. Yeah.
280, I guess we... or 080, I guess we still have, right?
We talked about that one. Correct.
Okay.
I still have the 80 here, so when we're done with it, we'll bring you all three.
Okay. You can go ahead and proceed with that one.
Okay. For petition 2020-080, we have a just value of $1,738,351. The assessed and taxable values are the same as the just at $1,738,351. This is a Walgreens located at 14320 Spring Hill Drive in Hernando County in Spring Hill. It lies at the southwest corner of Spring Hill Drive and Anderson Snow Road. It has frontage and access from Spring Hill Drive and Anderson Snow Road. It's zoned PDP GHC, which is Plan Development Project, General Highway Commercial. It has 89,061 usable and gross square feet of land. It is a single tenant retail. It has an actual year built and effective year built of 2000. The improvement has 15,089 leasable square feet, with 16,617 gross square feet. This property sold in August of 2000 for $3,266,300. On page 11 is a map of the subject and the comps that were used for the improved sales. That is followed by photos of those improved sales. Back on page 16 starts our improved sales chart, comparable improved sales chart. And on page 17, we'll do like we did before. Based on these comps, our subject would have, based on our subject, these comps have a minimum price per leasable square foot of $138.48, a maximum of $409.58, and we use $200 per leasable square foot, giving us a final value of $3,017,800. Back on pages 23 and 24 are our rental, comparable rentals chart. Those rentals give us a minimum rental rate per leasable square foot of $18.29, a maximum rate of $19.62, and for the purpose of this project packet, we use $17.50 per leasable square foot. On page 30, you'll find our direct cap chart for this subject. Using the 15,089 leasable square feet at $1,750 per square foot gives us a PGI of $264,058. 3% vacancy gives us a PGI of, 3% of PGI gives us an effective gross income of $256,136, allowing for management administrative fees, reserves, and special assessments at 6.33% of EGI gives us a net operating income of $239,915. Using a 6.5% cap rate loaded with last year's millage at 1.62% gives us a loaded cap rate of 8.12%. And a final value on this subject at $2,955,432. On page 31 is our reconciliation. The 8 criteria were considered in the analysis of the subject. The value of the subject from the sales comparison approach is $3,017,800, and from the income approach is $2,955,432. Therefore, the as-is fee simple market value of the subject for January 1st was $3,005,326.
Okay. And again, for this one, they submitted some evidence here, one page, which is a cost approach. Would you like to discuss that or your...
Please.
Okay, go ahead.
Again, on this particular cost approach that they submitted, the base area is incorrect. It should be 15,089 square feet, not 14,490, as they said. The story height multiplier should be 1.127, not 1.0. The current cost multiplier should be 1.05, not 1.0. Again, the petitioner did not allow for features, and they didn't show how their land value was derived. After doing a quick cost approach, I came up with a final value of $1,810,618. And I can submit this with the others if you'd like.
Okay. Anything else before we conclude these hearings then?
I think we're good.
Okay. We'll conclude the hearings and go off the record. Okay. Thank you. Did we cover everything that I was supposed to say?